The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Let's see if I can get this fixed. Yeah, it is Bowerly. Welcome, News Radio 930 WBEN on a Tuesday. And boy, when the news happens, it just hits quickly and it hits furiously, does it not? And WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 10 minutes after 3. So, you know what's really kind of funny, in a way, is I'm very, very honest with you guys about, everything, but what I do know and what I don't know as a radio talk show host. And look, if there's something I don't know, I try to bone up on it, giggity, as much as I can before I do a show, especially if I'm going to be talking about anything remotely in the ballpark of that particular subject matter. And I will be a rare man here, once again, as I did last week, and tell you, I don't understand everything about football. I just don't. I love to watch the games as a social exercise, as an entertainment situation. But as far as sitting around and saying, oh my goodness, look at that formation. Now, this is going to be used to counter that format. I'm not that guy. We're not going to do an X's and O's show here, which is really good because I would be utterly incompetent and I would embarrass myself and it would be an insult to you if I were to do that. But that being said, I do find it kind of, I find it funny. A couple of things I find funny. First of all, apparently Terry Pegula and I had the same mindset going into the game against the Denver Broncos because I had stated off the air to my personal friends, I had stated my belief that if Sean McDermott was unable to get the job done this year with a Super Bowl win, not just an appearance, that I think as much as I love Sean McDermott, the Bills needed to move on and try somebody else. And I guess Terry Pegula felt the same way. Now, he said it really cemented itself for him when he was in the Bills locker room after the loss to the Denver Broncos, and that very well may be the case, but a decision like that is just not something a guy like Terry Pegula is going to make impulsively. So I'm pretty sure that it was at least on the back burner on a medium setting, and that the loss in Denver was probably it was the final straw in a pattern and a sequence of disappointing finishes to the season. And if you will remember the news conference, by the way, Terry Pegula is getting skewered by a lot of people for that news conference, just so you know. I don't think he deserves to be skewered, but I'm just saying what other people, I've seen other people reference it, and not exactly in glowing terms about Terry Pegula. But I was so happy when Terry Pegula addressed the 13-second issue with respect to Sean McDermott, because, and we talked about this a lot right after Sean McDermott was relieved of his duties, and because people hear sometimes what they want to hear and people misconstrue, I just want to be really, really clear about this. Sean McDermott is a great human being. He is a magnificent man. And although I've never met him, and to the best of my knowledge, we've never spoken, everything I've heard about Sean McDermott tells me that he is absolutely as advertised. He's a great human. And I don't know him to love him, but it's a strong degree of respect. Let's put it that way. That being said, after the Kansas City game, the 13-second game, I could actually name the people with whom I spoke about this. I expressed my belief that I thought Sean McDermott should be fired after that game on the logic, remember last week we talked about this, the logic being because I am so stupid when it comes to football, if I know that they really screwed up clock management and the kickoff, if I know that, the head coach of an NFL team, that should be second nature to him. And frankly, I think that's a really good thought process, don't you? So, again, the Bills, I think, made the right decision frankly, I would have made it a lot sooner, but that is not at all a reflection on Sean McDermott, who is a wonderful, wonderful human being. Now, Joe Brady. Remember, Tanner Saunders and I were talking about possibilities for the Bills head coaching job. Now, Tanner Saunders is a young man I respect greatly because he works an awful lot. He'll work any shift. He will do pretty much anything that is thrown at him as a young broadcast professional. And Tanner Saunders, what he is really into would be the world of sports. He is a, I guess I could call him a sports encyclopedia, some sports perhaps more than others, but he really enjoys sports. He gets down to the minutiae of sports and sports management and contracts and plays and everything like that, even the history in particular of the National Football League and various coaching outcomes over the years. So I'm sure we're going to turn things over to Tanner and get some thoughts from him on the Joe Brady situation. If you don't know why I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills today, I should probably tell you it's because the Buffalo Bills, as I actually expected, we should play the tape from last week just to prove to people that I'm not just pulling this out of my arse. I did expect the Buffalo Bills were going to hire Joe Brady. And you might remember the conversation that went something along these lines. Joe Brady is a very interesting fellow to me as an offensive coordinator because there are some calls he makes that I think are absolutely the pinnacle of genius. Unexpected, right time, right place, right situation, and extremely productive. On the other hand, getting back to the Tom is an idiot with football metric, if I know that it's going to be James Cook, I'm pretty sure the defenders know it's going to be James Cook. So while he is, I think, a very gifted human being, and look, everything is always up to the execution of what you call by the players involved, and it's also up to how the defense reacts. Are they able to get a read on what you're going to do? Do they have the personnel that is going to be able to handle the offensive weapons you are thrusting at them? It is like everything else in life. It's very multifactorial. I think we can agree on that. But as just a schnook watching football, like, okay, Joe Brady, sometimes I think you're amazing, but sometimes I think, dude, if I know what you're going to do, these other NFL brainiacs absolutely know what you're going to do. You should be able to fool me. You should be. Imagine me as a two-year-old baby with a sucker. You should be able to take that sucker from me, no problem at all. And if you can't, I kind of wonder. And that, again, is the logic I used after the Kansas City game. If I knew what they should have done, but the head coach didn't, that's a problem. And with respect to the offensive play calls by the Buffalo Bills, again, Joe Brady has had some genius moments, absolutely, but so often it seemed to me, especially this past season, that exactly what I was expecting is exactly what the Bills called. And in those situations, those calls did not generate a lot of yardage for the Buffalo Bills. Now, Joe Brady, I guess I'm happy for Joe Brady. I kind of feel now that we know it's Joe Brady, like maybe they just should have stuck with Sean McDermott. Is that a weird way to be coming at this? Because when you look up online, okay, let me give you the phone number before I go down that rabbit hole on News Radio 930 WBEN. Would you allow me to give the phone number? Because I'd like your comments as well. And I do hope that you appreciate my being the kind of guy who's not going to say, I know everything about everything, and this is the way it is. Because I'm really not, okay? And I do hope that my honesty wins some brownie points in your head. I'm not trying to be one of these know-it-all media guys, because guess what? I'm not. 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Your reaction to the Buffalo Bills hiring Joe Brady. And my first reaction, it's always interesting, by the way, to consider your first reaction to a situation. the very first thing I thought was, I knew it, I was right. Because we all like validation, right? Even though nobody is going to mistake me anytime real soon for Mike Shope. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen, all right? I got that right. They're going to go with Joe Brady. Yeah, got that right. The second reaction to the announcement that Joe Brady is the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills was literally, okay, the Buffalo Bills need to win a Super Bowl. That's what the goal is. They fired Sean McDermott because the Buffalo Bills kept running into a wall in the playoffs. All right. We understand that. I certainly understand that way of thinking. I think you would probably understand that way of thinking, no matter how much we love Sean McDermott, and that will never change. He's a wonderful, great human being, period. But if you need to win a Super Bowl now, or should I say within the next couple of years, because Josh Allen ain't going to be Josh Allen-like forever, especially the way he plays. Frankly, I think it's kind of amazing that he's not been sidelined for extended periods of time with a horrible injury. And thank God, not a Joe Theismann kind of injury. Good Lord, can you imagine that? But if you want and need to win a Super Bowl in the immediate future, because you know your window with Josh Allen and other great talented players would be closing, consider the fact that only two rookie National Football League head coaches, only two in the history of the National Football League, have won a Super Bowl in their rookie season. Only two have managed to do that. I'm a little bit confused by that. Maybe you're not, and you can set me straight on it, but I'm definitely a little bit confused. The clock is ticking, all right? Sean McDermott needed to go because he had taken the Buffalo Bills as far as they were going to go. I'm paraphrasing what Terry Pegula had to say. So the guy you bring in to become the head coach of the Buffalo Bills is going to be a rookie head coach. Am I getting that right? And only two rookie head coaches in the entire history of the National Football League have won Super Bowls? I'm sensing a little bit of a disconnect. Like, inside my brain, I would not go there if I were you, but inside my brain, I have a little bit of cognitive dissonance here because, frankly, what I wanted, and this is easier said than done, and when you look at the pool of available candidates, probably not amenable to the ideal situation I had envisioned, I would love to have seen a veteran National Football League coach with Super Bowl hardware available in his safety deposit box. Now, that significantly limits the people who could have been on that list. I know it. You know it. I would have been content with an offensive or defensive coordinator or some other real big deal in terms of coaching, not the head coach, but up there anyway, within the ranks of coaching, somebody who not only has been to a Super Bowl, but who has won a Super Bowl, somebody who can show the way. That's where I am on this. I must tell you, I guess if I had to sum it up in a word, I would say confused. If I had to sum it up in another word, I would say anxious. But mostly confused, because I think we all recognize the clock is ticking on Josh Allen. It does seem kind of stupid, I know, to look at a guy who's not even 30 years old yet. Yeah, he's getting old. Well, you know how beaten up these guys in the National Football League get. It's terrible, the abuse their bodies take. So you don't really have that long a lifespan as a quarterback in the NFL. Oh, running backs, good Lord. Let's talk to Icky Woods about that, shall we? And a whole bunch of other dudes as well. That's a tough position. But I'm confused. If time is of the essence for the Bills to maximize the talent of Josh Allen and win a Super Bowl, does Joe Brady put them in a position, probability speaking, does Joe Brady as a rookie head coach and only two of them in all of history have won a Super Bowl. What does he do to move the needle more than Sean McDermott? Because no disrespect intended at all to Joe Brady. Okay, like I said, I think he's done some things that are genius. He's also done some things that are extremely predictable. No disrespect at all to Joe Brady, but given what I thought the Bills wanted, they might as well have stayed with Sean McDermott. Like, if you go out and you can bring in somebody who has actually been to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl, Veni, Vidi, Vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. If you can get somebody like that, that makes a lot of sense to me, because maybe it was mental with Sean McDermott. Perhaps the stress of the NFL playoffs and a Super Bowl in particular, maybe he just isn't able to handle it. And that's not an insult to Sean McDermott. It's just different people have a different point at which they collapse and crack. Mine generally is waking up in the morning. I'm really confused. And no disrespect at all to Joe Brady, but this does not seem consistent with what I thought the Buffalo Bills wanted to do. So in that, only two head coaches of rookie status have ever won a Super Bowl in the entire history of the National Football League. Is this coming season going to be a we'll wait and see? Is this coming season, is this going to be like a mulligan? Because Josh is getting older. Every game he plays, every down he is the quarterback, runs a risk of terrible injury, not to mention the normal declension process. He's not there yet. Josh Allen is not there yet. But once you start going downhill as a professional athlete, things multiply. Think about your own life. Maybe you, perhaps you're a runner. Maybe you're into bicycling, whatever you're into, weightlifting. Oh, weightlifting's a big one, because you heal a lot better at 25 than you do at 30. You heal a lot better at 25 than you do at 35 if you pull a ligament or a tendon or a muscle, God forbid. And as a player gets older, or as you as an athlete become older, you don't really snap back as quickly as you used to do. So this season, it just seems to me like the Bills, if you look at statistics, they've put themselves behind the eight ball already by bringing in a rookie head coach, guy who's never done it before. Only two in the entire NFL history have won a Super Bowl. It's almost like they're going into the coming season kind of conceding that they're probably not going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, am I a little crazy for thinking that? Because that's where I am on this. Without disrespecting Joe Brady. Want to make that clear. And frankly, I'm serious. If I was in charge, I'd bring back Sean McDermott. I'm just saying. 803-0930 is the... Am I making sense to you? Because I make perfect sense to myself, which, believe it or not, doesn't always happen. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And yes, the irony that I can actually talk more intelligently about football now than I did when I was doing the sports morning show with Chris Parker, the Bulldog, is not lost on me at all. I have a great respect and love for and a sense of humor about irony, and I'm a walking textbook example of it today. Again, poor Bulldog, I think I broke his back. He carried me so long. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh. Ooh, little pretzel logic there, and Steely Dan. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN. Nice thing about that song is Steely Dan songs are usually, not always, but usually pretty difficult, but that one is kind of easy. That one in My Old School, so a lot of bands will actually play that song by Steely Dan during a gig. There's some useless trivia about which you couldn't have cared less. Sorry about that. WBEN, Arthur Pressman. Traffic attorney time is 3:38. It is Bowerly, and I want to get your reaction, if any, to the hiring by the Buffalo Bills of the new head coach, Joe Brady, who had been the offensive coordinator. You remember the guy during that really, really hot game against the Miami Dolphins a few seasons ago who he was not very nice to his iPad? That guy, yeah, Joe Brady. And I'm just saying, I honestly, without seeming like, I think Joe Brady sucks, because I'm not qualified to say that, and it wouldn't be very nice anyway. But the reasons the Buffalo Bills got rid of Sean McDermott, I don't think that those reasons mean that you bring in somebody who's never been a head coach in the National Football League before. I am a little bit confused by this. As much as I really do think that it is absolutely a justifiable position that Sean McDermott had taken the Buffalo Bills as far as he was able to lead that team, I think that's a very justifiable position. Honestly, I would feel a lot better with Sean McDermott as an experienced National Football League coach. I would feel much more comfortable with him as head coach of the Buffalo Bills again than I would with a rookie head coach coming in and expecting that a rookie head coach is going to bring the team any further in the playoffs than did Sean McDermott, because only two rookie National Football League head coaches in history have won a Super Bowl. And the element of time, this is not a team that is in a rebuilding mode. This is not a team where you've got your best guys are all 23, 24, 25 years old, okay? This is not a team where your quarterback has endless years ahead of him. This is the quarterback, Josh Allen, obviously, in particular. The man is, he's amazing. But for how long is he going to be as amazing? Look at number 12, Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly, if you never saw Jim Kelly play, well, go back on YouTube and watch some videos of Jim Kelly's old performances. And of course, I might add, make sure you also check out Thurman. Great man and phenomenal at his job. Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, hello, Steve Tasker. Check out all those people in their prime. They were really pretty amazing. But as great as Jim Kelly was, and people used to say, Jim Kelly, he's built like a linebacker. True. Very well-built, rugged, manly quarterback. But Jim Kelly eventually reached a point where, guess what? He wasn't Jim Kelly anymore. Well, he was Jim Kelly, but he wasn't that Jim Kelly, Jim Kelly, if you know what I'm trying to communicate. And I remember after we used to do the post-game interviews on Monday mornings following Buffalo Bills games on the station for which I used to work. And I used to talk to Jim Kelly all the time after all of those games. And at one point, there were like two or three performances in a row that were not Jim Kelly performances where he just didn't look good. And I felt really bad having to ask him the question, but he was a total gentleman, I might add, in his response, because I had to ask him, have you thought about retiring? Is that on your horizon at all? And, you know, Jim Kelly, he did not get upset. He did not get angry. He did not throw it back at me, because I think that in his mind, Jim Kelly, who's not a stupid man, certainly knew that in the National Football League, your lifetime, your career is finite. It is not infinite. And one of the reasons, well, you're getting naturally older anyway, and your body gets banged up an awful lot. So it happens to everybody in any sport. Maybe it's happened to you in some minor sport. I don't know. But you have a prime period of performance where you can merge youth along with experience, oh yeah, and strength, you've got a prime. And I'm not sure how long a prime is supposed to last, but then you start going into a declension, a decline, and that can be protracted. It's very rarely, let's slam the book on this. It can take time. You will see cracks starting to show in somebody's performance, like mine, for instance. That was maybe 4 years ago. All right, maybe 10 years ago. I've forgotten. But Jim Kelly knew, and he could have been really angry at me, but he wasn't. Jim Kelly knew. He knew the score. And Josh Allen knows the score, too. I've never talked to Josh. But, well, he calls. I just refuse to take it, you know. Josh Allen knows deep inside of himself that he has a finite number of seasons remaining in his National Football League career to earn the title of Super Bowl champion quarterback. All of the records Josh Allen possesses in the National Football League, the MVP, the incredible legacy of highlight reels, all of the applause points, all of the commendations Josh Allen has received. If Josh Allen goes his entire career and is unable to win, I almost said a Stanley Cup, a Vince Lombardi trophy, Josh is not going to feel complete because he is a competitor. See, one of the reasons I think a lot of us love Josh Allen, even if we've never met him, is he basically had to dig himself up by his own bootstraps. He's the one who had to write all of those letters. He is the one who had to believe in himself. Without being cocky, he had to believe in himself. He was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Josh Allen believed in himself, and he took all of the steps in his earlier years to make sure that he was the college guy he was, that he was, in fact, accepted into the National Football League and actually was able to flourish in the National Football League. By the way, in large part because of Sean McDermott, which is probably why Sean McDermott did not get fired after the Kansas City 13-second game. Everything you see with Josh, well, I can't say everything. A lot of the greatness you see in Josh Allen is directly linked to Sean McDermott's mentoring of Josh Allen. But getting back to Josh, and really any professional knows this, that you only have so many years to work. You only have so many seasons to play before it becomes very unlikely that you are going to reach the pinnacle, that you're going to have the gold ring in your hands. All right? Think about all of the amazing athletes just in Buffalo. In Buffalo, we don't even have to go to other cities. Think of all the amazing athletes in Buffalo who were absolutely sensational. They were transcendently talented. Let's look at a guy, shall we? Like Gilbert Perreault, number 11. Gilbert Perreault, when you look at highlights of all of the greats of the National Hockey League, but then consider the fact that he entered the league in 1970 as a rookie. We could have gotten Dale Tallon. We spun the wheel. Imlach got us Gilbert Perreault. So anyway, Gilbert Perreault, an amazing talent. When he deked people, when he stick handled, when he skated, when he shot, when he passed, Gilbert Perreault was absolutely, positively one of the greatest hockey players who has ever lived. How many Stanley Cup rings does Gilbert Perreault possess? None. None. In fact, anybody who played their entire career with the Buffalo Sabres, none of those guys have Stanley Cup rings because the Buffalo Sabres, entering the National Hockey League in 1970, although they've been two times to the finals, once against the Philadelphia Flyers, the other against the Dallas Stars. They've made it to the finals. They lost both of those situations. And no Buffalo Sabre, where that's the only team for whom they've ever played, will have a Stanley Cup ring anywhere at all. In fact, if you will remember, let me just take a sip of, you know what? I laid back on my Topo Chico mineral water drinking, but I'm going to make an exception today. Yeah, it's good, but I definitely need some more discipline with this stuff. Discipline broke down a little bit today. But think about Dominik Hasek. Dominik Hasek when you think about, we just lost Glenn Hall, right? But when you think about the history of goaltenders in the National Hockey League and the hierarchy, and you think about names like Ken Dryden and Bernie Parent, they died relatively close to each other, did they not? But then you factor in Dominic Hasek. Dominic Hasek, around the world, is recognized as one of the greatest goaltenders who ever played the sport of professional hockey. And frankly, I was very happy when the Sabres basically allowed him to become a Detroit Red Wing, go to a team that was a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. So Dominic Hasek not only was able to retire, not only with all of those individual awards and all of that recognition, not just in the United States, and not just Buffalo, New York, but around the world. He was better known in his playing days than, remember Tretiak with the Soviet Red Army? See, his kids, a lot of us fell in love with his goaltender from the Soviet Red Army team named Tretiak. He was amazing, and he was worldwide as well after the Soviets started to play more and more world competitions. Everybody wanted to beat Tretiak when you played street hockey. And he was, again, he was a worldwide celebrity. Well, guess what? Dominic Hasek, same thing. But because he played for the Detroit Red Wings, he was able to achieve that level of being a champion. And there's something special, frankly, about being a champion at something. And don't go anywhere. Your thoughts, your take on this. Did the Bills make the right choice with Joe Brady? And I honestly don't see how bringing in a rookie NFL coach increases your chances over Sean McDermott of winning the Super Bowl this coming season or afterward. I don't get it, frankly. I'm confused. So obviously, I've done a lot of talking, and I have a lot more to say, shockingly, about a sports story. But if you're just joining us, the Buffalo Bills have hired a new head coach. And as I predicted last week, I guess every now and again, the stopped clock is actually right twice a day. I thought they were going to go with Joe Brady. And at the time, I said, he's probably going to be cheaper than anybody else, probably more cost-effective, I should say. And I was thinking about the power dynamic that Joe Brady being the head coach, to me, in any kind of a power situation, there's just no doubt about it that Brandon Bean has the unquestioned power, and Joe Brady really doesn't have much compared to Brandon Bean. Whereas, had they brought in somebody with some serious head coaching experience, I think that person might have been, shall we say, a little bit more independently outspoken as opposed to somebody who's come up through your own system. Now, again, my thesis is, and I want to find out if you're on board with this or if you think it's a flawed thesis, that since the time element is so huge and the Buffalo Bills, with Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills need to get this done. And they don't have, let's say, a decade to do it. They got to get this thing done. They got to win a Super Bowl. Well, since time is such a factor, I'm really very confused as to why a rookie head coach would be given the job. That to me does not make sense. And you can look it up yourself just like I did. Only two NFL coaches in all of history, only two rookie head coaches have won a Super Bowl. I don't get it. You're fighting probability. You're fighting statistics. That's not even a statement on Joe Brady. I have no idea if Joe Brady's going to be any good. But I do know this. The way I look at it, the Bills would be much better off bringing back Sean McDermott and having him be the head coach of the Buffalo Bills again, because I just don't see how the Bills have advanced. In fact, I think this whole situation of getting rid of Sean McDermott and then promoting Joe Brady, to me, I think the Bills have taken a few steps backward in this. This is not a step forward. Because when I would tell my wife, you know what, I like Sean McDermott as a person, and I've only heard great things about him, but I really think it's time they go get somebody in here who knows what it's like to win it all. Every time I thought of replacing Sean McDermott, never did I think to myself, boy, I sure hope the Bills go out and get a sure hope they go out and get a rookie coach because that'll get the job done. I think the Bills have taken a bad step backward today. Not going to lie.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So good to have you with us on this Tuesday. And as always, what do you know? There's some breaking news stories. And one of them, of course, is, well, it's a big one. The Buffalo Bills have hired their next head coach. And the next head coach, as I expected, Joe Brady, formerly the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. And that is the situation there. And did the Bills, question for you, did the Bills make the right decision? Do you think history is going to look back on this and say, well, that was the day. Today is the day the Buffalo Bills took the steps to make sure that Josh Allen, his talent was not squandered and that he was going to be put in the best possible position to win a Super Bowl. This is it, in the words of Kenny Loggins. I do not believe that, and I wish I could. And one of the things that I think you might be hearing more and more, maybe over the course of the past year, but it certainly has increased over the course of the past couple of weeks, is, and I don't like repeating this, but I'm sure it's something you also have heard. People saying, there are two things that I've heard. Number one, if Josh Allen is going to win the Super Bowl, he had best get out of Buffalo. That's become not an uncommon thing to hear people say or to have written on social media. If Josh wants to win a Super Bowl, he's never going to do it in Buffalo. That's one of those things. And the other one is, obviously, Josh is a married man. Child is on the way. His bride is a Hollywood type. And at what point does I'm just wondering, at what point does one partner living in New York during the season and the other living in California because that's where the work is, at what point does that become, yeah, you know what, maybe we need to consolidate things and maybe perhaps I'd have a better chance in LA as well to win the big championship. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know Josh has said he'd be very happy to retire as a Buffalo Bill, and people love to hear that. That is red meat for Bills Mafia. But frankly, I must say that would you blame Josh Allen if, let's just say, tools are not brought in to help him achieve that personal milestone, which happens to be a team milestone as well, if they didn't do what he thought they should be doing to put him in the best possible position to win a Super Bowl, could you blame him for saying, I really need to go somewhere else? But of course, he would probably say, you know, my wife, you know, she spends a lot of time in L.A., and that's really where I need to be because that's the most important thing in my life. That, you know what, I can see that happening. Depending, of course, on the situation with the NFL and Los Angeles. But, do you remember when Wayne Gretzky's actress wife moved to Edmonton to be with Wayne? Yeah, I don't either because that never happened. Yeah, if you don't remember, you're not alone because it did not happen. There were a lot of reasons, of course, why Wayne Gretzky ended up not retiring an Edmonton Oiler, but no need to go there now. Do you believe that the decision to put Joe Brady in charge of the Buffalo Bills increases Josh Allen's chances of winning a Super Bowl and your chances of seeing the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl? And getting back to what I said earlier, and I did cite some statistics for you regarding rookie head coaches and the National Football League. I don't like saying this. I feel almost guilty saying this, but I also feel as though it's my truth. It's the way I'm interpreting everything that's gone down. between the firing of Sean McDermott and today's news that Joe Brady had been hired as the head coach of the Bills. I must tell you, my own interpretation is I think the Bills have taken a major step backward in the quest for a Super Bowl. The question would be, are the Bills in a better position now to win the Super Bowl than they were the day after losing to the Denver Broncos when Sean McDermott was still the head coach of the Buffalo Bills? And I am unfortunately forced to rationally and logically conclude that firing Sean McDermott and then replacing him with Joe Brady, I'm sorry to have to say this, I think it's a big step backward for the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think they're in a better position now to win the Super Bowl than they were with Sean McDermott as the head coach the day after losing to Denver. Because looking at the situation with Sean McDermott individually as an isolated development, okay, Sean McDermott, he is fired. We are now free to hire a new head coach. Well, I've already explained what I had wanted to see the Buffalo Bills do, all right? You bring in people who've been there, done that, that can get the job done, even as offensive coordinators, even as ball boys, something like that, just somebody who's been there who actually has triumphed in a Super Bowl. But they were not able to do that, and they basically did what I really don't like when Buffalo organizations do this. They promoted from within, and I don't think the only person, just checking out what some people have written on social media. I wonder if that was just the most cost effective option, and that's why they took it. Hey, we can save money, which always makes me laugh a little bit, because you've got these players who are making just amazing amounts of money, and they're worth every single penny, by the way. You know how I know that? These players that people like to bitch about, oh, he makes $5 million a year, they're worth it because the person signing the check believes they are worth it. Ergo, they are, in fact, worth it. It seems out of balance, out of proportion, that, my God, these guys make so much money. Well, yeah, and you know what? People are willing to pay them that much money. So that makes the negotiation happy and effective for both sides. Anyway, getting back to the coaching situation, I want your phone calls on this. Did the Bills take a step forward by firing Sean McDermott and then hiring the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, to take the helm of the Buffalo Bills as head coach? I don't see it. And again, the interesting thing that I was checking out, only two rookie head coaches in the history of the National Football League have won Super Bowls. So already the probabilities, if history is any indication, the probabilities that the Buffalo Bills are going to win a Super Bowl this coming season would seem to be dramatically reduced by having a rookie head coach calling the shots. So what is this coming season just going to be one of those whatever seasons? But wait till next year. We'll get him next year, because it just sometimes it seems to be the mantra of Buffalo and Western New York sports teams. Wait till next year. There's always next season. Well, there comes a point in your life where, even if you're not Josh Allen and you're playing, there comes a point in your life as a fan, even a casual fan like some people I could think of, where you realize, okay, how many more seasons are you going to be around? How many more opportunities will you even have as a fan, even a casual fan, to see your team win everything? And the older you become, obviously, that number goes down. When you're a kid, when you're 12 years old, 15 years old, it's very easy to say, with some credibility and probability behind you, well, they're going to win. It's just a question of when, but I'm going to see my team win. Well, as you are in your 60s and 70s, and it ain't happened yet, you do some quick math about, okay, how many sunrises do I have left? Okay, yeah, they better get on the stick here and get this thing done. And I'm really concerned. I truly am, because I don't think I'm the only person who would say this. When Josh Allen was coming into his own, when Josh Allen went from maybe he can do this, maybe he's the answer, maybe he's the guy, maybe he is the next Jim Kelly era of the Buffalo Bills, and obviously he is because it's the Josh Allen era of the Buffalo Bills, okay? I thought for sure that in my lifetime, I would see, and I'm 62, I was going to see the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl. How could they not win a Super Bowl with Josh Allen? Certainly, they're going to build a team around him and make sure that he has all the tools he needs to get the job done of winning a Super Bowl, right? Yeah, I'm just thinking back to last year and some of the people calling into our sister station. Perhaps I ought not to go there. I have to tell you that I really think today, and it's not about me, okay? I mean, I'm really not that narcissistic, honestly. I mean, I think I'm wonderful, but I'm really not that narcissistic. But I do believe that my chances now of seeing the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl are considerably less than they would have been had Sean McDermott remained head coach of the Buffalo Bills. I wish I didn't believe that, but I do believe that. Because, again, if only two rookie head coaches have won Super Bowls in the history of the NFL, well, the chances are, probabilities suggest this coming season probably ain't going to be the one. So then what happens after that? I'm really doubting right now that I'm going to see the Buffalo Bills, whether it's Josh Allen or Drake May, no matter who the quarterback happens to be, I really am doubting that I'm ever now going to see the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that Sean McDermott as head coach, I would have said, yes, there's a 95% chance, but I think there's a hell of a lot less chance at my age I'm going to see the Bills win a Super Bowl than there would have been had Sean McDermott remained in the job. And that upsets me a little bit. And for those of you who are Bills Mafia, for those of you who bleed red, white, and blue, I feel bad for you because you put a lot of skin in the game, a lot of money in the game, a lot of emotion in the game, and I kind of feel like the team didn't meet you halfway on this. Let us get back to the calls. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 22 after 4. I think the Bills are less likely to win the Super Bowl in my lifetime now than they were had they kept Sean McDermott on because they brought in a rookie head coach, okay? And I feel bad about that. Let's go to Chris in Buffalo on WBEN. Hello, Chris, you are on the radio. Give us your thoughts. We got to get Chris up. Chris, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Tom. I thoroughly agree with your assessment of the situation as far as the coaching job is concerned. I think they've taken a step backwards. I also believe that at this point, the only way that Josh Allen is going to be wearing a Super Bowl ring is if he goes to another team.
I am afraid you know what, as much as I hate to say this, given everything else we've talked about today, Chris, I have to agree with that. Because his window is also closing. His window of being able to play at the level at which he is able to play the game and in the way he's able to play the game. And he does play the game. His window, it's not forever. Frankly, I really think this team had the best possible window, the Kansas City 13-second coaching error loss.
Oh, that was such a debacle. It was terrible.
Well, it was. Chris, I'm curious because, as I said, I have seen and heard, I've seen online and I've heard people talking about this, that, Josh Allen, he's only going to win a Super Bowl if he gets out of Buffalo. What are the factors that enter into your agreeing with that particular assessment, as painful as it might be for all of us to talk about?
It just seems to me, Tom, that the team just does not have the mentality that is required for a Super Bowl championship.
But you know that, Chris, that's why when I said to my bride, honey, as much as we both love Sean McDermott and we have friends who know him and he's really a great guy, as much as we might love him or kind of love him, I think he's got to go because they need, if they don't do it this year, they got to bring somebody in who's been there, done that, who does not fold under NFL playoff pressure. I didn't want him to bring in a rookie head coach. That doesn't make any sense.
It does not. I'm no expert when it comes to football, but it just seems to me that, to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's a step backward.
Well, Chris, obviously, I concur with your diagnosis, doctor, and you know what I'm going to ask you now, because Chris is one of my favorite people from our European trips, because he is a character, he's a wonderful human being, and frankly, the brain on this guy, Chris is he's incredibly intelligent, just like Mike in Depew. I quake intellectually when I'm around Chris. He is so freaking smart, it's scary. Now, with that wonderful setup, I must ask, are you coming with us to Italy?
I'm still undecided, Tom.
What would it take to decide you, Chris? What would it take?
just time to evaluate my options. I am, to be honest with you, tempted to check out Tank Week at the Tank Museum in Bobington, UK.
Does that conflict with the trip, the August 1st through the 12th trip to Italy?
I don't believe it does. But
you can do both. I hope you come, because my daughter thinks the world of you, because you guys had a chance to hang out in Germany. My wife thinks the world of you, and everybody that we've ever traveled with thinks the world of you. We look out for you. You are a great, great guy with a lot of friends, Chris, is what I'm trying to tell you. So I hope you come.
Well, I appreciate that, and please convey my wishes to your wife.
What kind of wishes, Chris? What kind of wishes should I convey?
Ask her to have a great day.
Diplomatically played, Chris. You are a gentleman, in fact. But if you weren't, that's fine, too. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. There's Chris. We like Chris an awful lot. And he actually agrees with me. So if you're just joining us, the Buffalo Bills did what I thought they were going to do. They make Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And quite frankly, I think they took some big steps backward in doing that. And I honestly believe that my chances of seeing the Buffalo Bills ever winning a Super Bowl are less now, considerably so, than they would be had Sean McDermott remained as head coach of the team. Or if the Bills had gone out and gotten an individual who... at least even coordinator status, I'll take that, who been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. But this does not put the Bills further ahead. This does not remedy, I think, what the Bills have been lacking in terms of playoff leadership from the head coach. And I think it sucks, quite frankly. And that's not slamming Joe Brady. It really isn't. But my goodness, why even bother firing McDermott? That just doesn't make any sense. But makes about as much sense as not putting a roof on a stadium you're building in Buffalo. But that's just me. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Your take.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men, living all together, yet they were all alone.
Okay, I guess that's about enough of that. If you're just joining us, you might wonder, hey, has Tom totally lost his mind? The answer would be, yeah, like years ago. What are you thinking? So talking about the Buffalo Bills hiring the former offensive coordinator Joe Brady to be the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, which I think is a huge, huge, huge step backward for this team. And frankly, given the variable of Josh Allen's greatness days, given the variable of how long it takes somebody to catch up to speed as a head coach in the NFL, the fact that only two rookie coaches have ever won the Super Bowl, I assess my chances at the age of 62 of seeing the Buffalo Bills winning a Super Bowl less than 2%. Less than 2%. I do not see it happening. I wish I could come to a better conclusion, but I simply can't. On the other hand, Drake May and the Patriots, they're probably going to win 5 or 6 Super Bowls before the Bills even get there again. Sorry, I hate to say these things, but can you really argue? Let's go to David in Lancaster on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. David from Lancaster. I have to agree with you about, I think there's a big mistake picking Brady.
Well, let's get back to, I mean, yeah, obviously, I've had a lot of time to share my thoughts. And again, the caveat is I do not claim to be a sports guy who is so knowledgeable on everything sports. I'm not, and I'm always honest about that. So why don't you, David, tell us where you're coming from and the data points on which you base your conclusion.
I think they missed a golden opportunity, and I can't understand why. There has been zero teams ever reaching out to Belichick. He's one of the most winningest coaches, and they had the opportunity to let Bill Belichick come back and give it to Bob Kraft and show him that it wasn't Brady or Belichick. Did you see the documentary on was it Brady or Belichick that was the champions there?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
It was a documentary about was it Brady or Belichick? I think it was on Vice, and they talked about, you know, would they have went through all those championships if it was just Belichick or just Brady?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I've not seen that, but it's always interesting. The hypotheticals are always interesting. So, getting to the Buffalo Bills situation, why do you think we didn't hear a lot of talk in that direction?
I can't understand why there's not been one team that reached out to Bill Belichick ever since he left the Patriots. And I think he's got a score to settle with Bob Kraft because there's no love lost there between the two of them. And this would have gave him a golden opportunity to come back and prove that it was him that was the champion that coordinated all these efforts to get that championship where it was in New England. And I think he could have came back and then they would have been in the division with the rivals. And then it would have been a PR bonanza for the Buffalo Bills. I believe they missed the opportunity.
So let me ask you this: are you on a scale of 1 to 10? How big a football guy are you? Are you somebody who can say, "Well, look at this scheme, look at that scheme"? I mean, are you really well versed on it?
No, I'm not well versed, but I was a season ticket holder all through the Kelly years. And up until the time that the Buffalo Bills had me arrested, I told them they'd never see another dime out of my pocket because I was the guy on the goal line with the blue horn, and every time the defense was backed up, I just blew that horn, and Bruce Smith would look over at me, and then they would just run through the other team. It was a magical experience. Then I get arrested for not letting them take my horn because they said they were illegal at that point, and I bought them.
We'll leave the fact that you're a horny guy out of the equation for right now. You knew I had to say that. You knew I had to. So, see, my rationale, and maybe I'd like your thoughts on this, is I understand why Sean McDermott was fired. I get it. And frankly, I had thought that McDermott had taken the Buffalo Bills as far as he possibly could have taken them. But whenever I would say, I don't think he's going to ever be able to win a Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills, that opinion was always tempered with the idea that you get somebody who's been there and done that, even as a coordinator, somebody who is battle-tested with the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Had you told me, sir, that the Bills would fire Sean McDermott only to replace him with a rookie head coach, the offensive coordinator, I would have said, don't bother, because the way I look at it right now, the Bills would have been much better off keeping Sean McDermott.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. They should have went with someone who was the most proven in the league, and a guy with 7 Super Bowl rings, there's 6, you can't argue with. They had a golden opportunity to reach out to Bill Belichick. I don't know why they didn't.
Yeah, I do not know the answer to that. One more question, sir. A lot of people had been saying the Buffalo Bills, they fired the wrong guy in Sean McDermott. They should have eliminated the Brandon Bean situation because Bean did not give McDermott the tools he needed to finish the job. Do you have an opinion on that one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any stroke of genius coming out of Bean's office in the last few years, and it seems like it was always a day late, a dollar short, and they shoot themselves in the foot, and they go ahead and they make a decision without having plane the A plane ready to go, and then they're punting, and now they're hiring people that have been on a crew that hasn't produced for them, and poor Josh Allen, he's gonna be like O.J. Simpson, he's gonna dedicate his whole life to the Buffalo Bills, and they don't give him the tools that he needs to finish the job.
I'm going to pass on the O.J. Simpson setup, but I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
thank you, David. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. The Bills have hired the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, to be the head coach, and I believe this is a huge step back for the Buffalo Bills, and because of this, I really do not expect to see them win a Super Bowl during my lifetime. I wish I didn't have to say that, but that's how I feel. Here's Jethro in West Seneca. Jethro, you are on WBEN. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Thomas. Hey, I have actually a second thought besides what I already told your screener I was going to do. First thought really was, I wonder if Pegula was feeling his oats after firing Kevin Adams and seeing what happened with the Sabres, how they turned around, even though I truly think those two things are totally unrelated with the Sabres. I just think Terry's like, hey, I think I can do this, and let's do it. And unfortunately, McDermott wound up being the sacrificial lamb. Like you were saying with last caller, they fired the wrong guy. Especially,
well, I don't know. See,
he did.
You know what, sir? I must tell you, I am not qualified to give you an informed and intelligent opinion on whether the Bills should have fired Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott. Okay, I can't give you an answer because I'm not qualified to, and I'm going to be very, very honest about that. I will, however, say unequivocally that the Bills should have kept Sean McDermott because, to me, you don't fire a guy who actually has been there and done that, even if he couldn't win previously, and bring in a rookie and expect you're going to go to the Super Bowl, much less win a Super Bowl. That just makes no sense.
Oh, without a doubt. And my second thought was why they hired Brady and did this like, all of a sudden, besides the fact I think this was already planned out ahead, is they've tried to interview all these other coaches. The coach from Miami, McDaniel, I believe it is.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I'm glad that didn't happen.
He turned him down.
Well,
he turned it down.
Interview never took
Rivers.
Place. Phil Rivers, yep.
That one. These guys that were just saying no, I wonder if they watched that press conference last week and saw what a Mongolian cluster dance the organization might be turning into and said, I don't want to be involved with that at all. It's great they got Josh Allen, but I'd rather be somewhere where it's a little more stable.
So, have you noticed online and maybe in conversations you've had with your friends an increase in the number of people and the frequency with which you hear the expression, the only way Josh Allen is going to win a Super Bowl is if he gets out of Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm starting to hear that a little bit more, and I'm starting to wonder about that myself.
I hate to say, but I think that actually is correct.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't have to say that, but this move here that happened with firing McDermott and then putting in Joe Brady as head coach, it doesn't make sense, even to me. And when something doesn't make sense to the stupid guy about football, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a shame because Josh Allen has bled for this team, left body parts on the field for these guys, and I'm starting to wonder if he's starting to think that way, that he's probably going to have to get out, even though he wants to stay here.
I wonder if that's maybe why he did make that big public deal about, you know, I'll die a Buffalo Bill. I'll retire a Buffalo Bill. I wonder if that was maybe protesting a little bit too much.
Exactly. Well, all we can do now, Tom, is pray to the gods of football or whatever deity we want to pray to and hope for the best next season, I guess.
That's a very interesting concept. If there was a deity for football, which deity would it be? Think about that.
Question.
That's an interesting concept. All right, brother. Thank you. I appreciate the call, Jethro.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
You bet. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you believe the Bills will win a Super Bowl while you are still alive? And frankly, at 62, and Josh Allen getting up, he's almost 30 years old. I don't think I'm going to see it. I really don't. And I think, frankly, the best modern chance that people in my age group would have had the year they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, 13 seconds, that to me, that was the time. That was the time. And it didn't happen. And yeah, I have some serious doubts. It is 4:53 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it's Bowerly with you. And something very, very stunning has happened today. And what it is, oh no, it's not the fact that the Buffalo Bills have hired a new head coach and it's Joe Brady. I mean, you know, that's stunning. I think what's really stunning is the fact that since I got on the air at 3 o'clock this afternoon, essentially, I have been doing a sports talk radio show. And the funny thing is, it actually hasn't sounded bad at all. It actually has been pretty darn good. And the funny thing is, this is probably one of the best sports-themed radio shows I've ever done, including the 2 years I worked with the Bulldog at the other radio station with you know, Bowerly and the Bulldog. Remember that show? And I believe me, Chris Parker, the Bulldog, he carried my sorry butt for 2 years, really, because he really knows sports, and he's a great guy, smart, very, very funny. But I don't think in all the time I did sports with Chris, I spent this long doing sports monologues back when I was supposed to. So now I'm on News Radio 930 WBEN, and you've just heard, let's see, 2 hours of, I would say, not bad at all sports analysis. Keeping in mind, I do not take credit for stuff that I really don't know that well, but staying in my lane, I think we've been kind of okay today. You agree with that? It is kind of funny because I'm not really the sports kind of a guy, but if we talk about gardening and theater, I would be absolutely sensational. And yeah, you're not buying that. Okay. It is 4:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Jeez, I want to send a tape of this to Alan Pergament with the news, because he's a sports guy. He loves sports. He would make such a great radio host doing a sports show. He really, really would. But, yeah. Well, look, he's been fair. Over the years, he has been very, very fair to me. Okay, and in this business, that's all you can hope, that the critics are at least fair. And Alan has been. I don't really have a problem with Alan. Some people do. I really don't. Anyway, that means nothing to anybody. I should not have taken your time with that. Talking about the Bills hiring the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, as the head coach. He would be a rookie head coach. Only two rookie head coaches have won Super Bowls. In other words, the reason they fired Sean McDermott, really? You hire Joe Brady as your head coach? Are you further ahead now? I submit that they're further behind now. I submit that there's less a chance the Bills win the Super Bowl in my lifetime than had they just kept Sean McDermott. I mean, you're going to fire Sean McDermott. Bring in somebody who's got the jewelry. Don't bring in some rookie. I mean, the cynical part of me is like, what? How cheap was Joe Brady compared to the options? And, is this a situation of maybe wanting a guy who's not going to raise a stink, who will keep his opinions to himself, who doesn't want to say anything that is outside of the front office orthodoxy? I don't know the answers. Those are simply idly speculative questions. I don't know the answers, and I'm not making an allegation, just so you know. It is 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I think maybe in the next hour I should explain the flea flicker, how that works, and the circumstances in which it's... All right, I'm not going to do that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. The Buffalo Bills have hired a new head coach, and it's the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady. Honestly, I don't really see the point to this. I mean, you fire Sean McDermott, you bring in somebody with a Super Bowl ring and trophy, great. Maybe you take that next move, but you fire Sean McDermott and you bring in a rookie head coach, I really don't think I'm going to see the Bills win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. I'm 62. I just don't see it happening because statistically, probability means we'd have to basically not expect an awful lot for this coming season with a rookie head coach. Let's go to Vin in Buffalo on WBEN. Vin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. I called this summer from Houghton Park. It was a park where we used to play tight rope football. And one of the amazing things that not a lot of people know, but I guess they'll know a little more today, is that the Buffalo Bills used to practice right in that Houghton Park playing field right on Clinton Street where there's a swimming pool, you know? So
okay. Now, the reason why and that certainly today, is an though, interesting bit of trivia, however, yes. My dear friend.
Okay, sir. I was just curious what the playing background of Mr. Brady is. I was so amazing to see how hyped up Vrabel was during the playing this season of the New England Patriots, you know, running up and down the sidelines, you know, had that really high intense spirit, you know, a player's coach, you know, that's pretty cool. I'm hoping it'd be nice if we had a player's coach for the Buffalo Bills coming up. Now, Sean was at William and Mary. I think he graduated in 98 and went through the ranks of coaching. Mr. Brady also was at William & Mary. 14 years later, he graduated. I see promise in what's going on here because the man played wide receiver at William & Mary. His first year, maybe 2010, he had zero receptions. But don't you know, not to be dismayed, next year as wide receiver, and he played 23 total games, he had one reception. And then the following year, and you know, getting better each year, playing for William & Mary, he had two receptions, a grand total of three receptions. A lot of progress. The silver lining I see in this cloud is he probably didn't have a lot of head injuries, and he can think clearly and be a good coach in some of those respects. What's your take?
I don't know if you've got a great sense of humor and you're very subtle and you're speaking ironically or whether you're being sarcastic, yes. But I do like the style. Joe Brady... You were talking about William & Mary. Well, William & Mary won't do now. He was there 2009 to 2012. He played in all 11 games as a junior. And believe it or not, I don't have his stats in front of me. He was a two-time Colonial Athletic Association Academic All-Conference selection. Huh?
Yes. Must have been good at his studies, if not at catching football.
Yes, well, I was magna cum laude.
Each year.
Many things that I did. Hold on. I want to bring Tanner Saunders into the picture here while we have a moment. Okay. Tanner Saunders behind the glass. Oh, don't go anywhere, Vin. We're not going to blow you off. Tanner, we have not prevailed upon you as of yet, and I promised you to get some input from you on this Joe Brady situation. Do you think I'm being a little bit too negative when I say I really don't think I'm going to see the Bills win a Super Bowl in my lifetime because can't wait for a rookie head coach to mature? They should have just kept with Sean McDermott.
No, I think that's a fair criticism, given that I don't think I'll see them win a Super Bowl in my lifetime, and I'm only 25, so...
Good Lord. Well, I'm 62. That's quite a day. I wouldn't give up hope yet, young man. So why do you think Joe Brady got the job, number one? Then I want to find out what you know about Joe Brady as a player.
Because it's the path of least resistance. He already has a working relationship with Josh Allen. Say what you want about Joe Brady, about his predictable play calling, you know, running James Cook up the middle all the time and having him make people miss in a phone booth and the over-reliance on screen passes. But the offense has been top five in points scored per game over the past two seasons. Now, it's tough to say how much of that is Brady versus, you know, Josh Allen, because the offense was doing that when Ken Dorsey and Brian Davis Vrabel were the offensive coordinators, but still, it's a results-driven league, and the results have been there, even if it seems like it's been pulling teeth at times for the offense to move the ball down the field. So that, you know, given the success statistically of the offense and the fact that he's been there and he knows what the organization wants, I think that's why he was the man.
We'll get back to you a little bit later on, Tanner. I know you've got some work to take care of in the background. Let's get back to Vin in Buffalo. Vin, did you want to wrap up with anything else, sir?
No, not at all. But maybe it's just to think that the Bills went from the Rock Pile to Ritz Stadium, and now we have a new stadium they're about ready to come into this coming year. Again, as part of a little trivia in the whole landscape of the history of the Bills, they did practice right behind Public School 69, or it's known as Holton Academy right now. Okay. Right,
and you know what? That is an interesting bit of information. Vin, I got to move on to some other people. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. I mean, they also practiced at Niagara University. They practiced at that hotel off the 90 in Hamburg. But as much as I appreciate it, and I thank you for that, I do have people holding on to talk about the coaching situation. I'm not trying to be a jerk, man. Please understand that. Here is Mickey in West Seneca. Mickey, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I guess it's more of a question than a statement. Can you name the people that were in the search, or not in the search, but who were interviewed?
Oh, I absolutely.
I don't recall any persons of color being interviewed.
Well, we all have color. Tanner is going to join us because there is Phil Rivers. Tanner, you want to talk about the coaching search and who was and who was not brought in? I know Mike McDaniel was going to talk to the Bills, but that got canceled. So you want to enlighten us all, Tanner Saunders?
Yep, there was Brian Daboll, who, of course, was the offensive coordinator before Ken Dorsey early in Josh's career. Okay. There was...
Yep.
Man, now I'm drawing a blank. Holy smokes. We said Phillip Rivers, Anthony... Oh, Lou Anarumo, the Colts defensive coordinator. They interviewed him.
What was the situation with Brian Daboll?
Now he's actually going to Tennessee to be their offensive coordinator.
Bills. With the Bills, did they ever have a dialogue?
Yeah, I think they interviewed him.
And Mike McDaniel,
does the NFL have a rule that they have to interview at least one person of color, and I can't recall any. I'm wondering if they're going to get jammed up for that or fine.
Tanner, are you able to resolve this for the gentleman?
Yeah, the Rooney Rule. I don't know if they did or they were planning on interviewing Anthony Lynn, who was a former head coach of the Bills, I believe interim. He's now the Commanders run game coordinator, so I don't know if they had an interview scheduled with him. I don't know if they actually went through with it, but if they did, that would satisfy the Rooney Rule.
Maybe, you know what, maybe I'm getting this wrong. I thought that the Rooney Rule was they had to talk to, was it two people outside the organization that were either minority or female for that matter?
I don't know. That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, sir, you can look that up. I mean, it's not really, I mean, if you're going to call in to do Let's Stump Tom with NFL knowledge trivia, that's really easy to do, brother.
Oh, just out of curiosity, I'm sitting there listening to you guys, and I went, wait a minute, I'm going down
the list
myself.
No, I hear you. No, I hear you. Dude, I'm just having fun with myself because of all the things that I would expect to be talking about today, this was kind of like last on the list, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a great time, and you actually, I think, have brought up an excellent point I think it's two people. I got to look that up. I think they had to talk to two external people, and I have to re-look at the list of the people with whom they'd spoken. It's a great question. But like I said, anybody out there listening now who wants to call in, yes, if you want to make me look stupid, first of all, I do a good job myself, but ask me questions about pro sports or home repair, and I will be the dumbest dude in the room, trust me.
I wish they would have interviewed Sam Rattigliano. He did such a great job with Cleveland.
All right. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call, Mickey. Appreciate that. Get back to Tanner Saunders. We've got traffic coming up here in about a little less than a minute. Then we'll get to Scott in Cheektowaga. Are you going to, because, see, Tanner, you know this stuff a lot better than I do. Are you going to have the answer to the Rooney Rule? And is it one or is it two? And was that actually followed? Was it applicable with this situation in which the Bills found themselves?
Yes, it's two external diverse, so minority or female, candidates for head coach, general manager, or football operations position, and the Bills did satisfy that. They interviewed Commanders run game coordinator Anthony Lynn and then Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, both gentlemen of color, so they checked the boxes there.
You know what really has to suck, though, for our black brothers who might be interested in a job like this? It's got to suck wondering, did I get the interview because they really thought they might hire me, or because they had a box they had to check off? I would think that would suck personally. Right now, let's get back to the calls on WBEN. The Bills have hired offensive coordinator Joe Brady to replace Sean McDermott. Joe Brady will now be the head coach, and I really don't see much point to that. They should have just kept McDermott, my opinion. Here's Scott on WBEN in Cheektowaga. Hello, Scott.
How you doing, Tom?
Awesome. Thank you.
I couldn't agree. I wanted Tomlin. I wanted Belichick. I would have taken McDaniel. I felt that McDermott and Bean should have been fired after the 13-second game myself. Buffalo has beaten Kansas City in regular season a lot, but we chased Kansas City four times in playoffs. And while we're chasing Kansas City, the other teams are building teams to beat everybody, not just Kansas City. And McDermott just, he stayed his stay. I never thought he was going to take us to the Super Bowl after we lost that game with Kansas City. And in my lifetime, I don't think Buffalo's going to the Super Bowl as well.
How old are you, Scott?
I'm 67.
Okay, because I'm 62, and I will tell you that I do not believe I will see the Buffalo Bills win a Super Bowl in my lifetime, and I will also say this: the chances, the probability of that happening went down significantly when they fired Sean McDermott, but then hired Joe Brady as the head coach. I just don't think I'm going
to
see it.
Listen. Marv Levy took us to the Super Bowl four times, and he couldn't win. Marv Levy left after the fourth Super Bowl. I mean, a good portion of the Buffalo Bills after the fourth Super Bowl left the Bills in hopes that they can go higher and higher. McDermott just couldn't do it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the call. Actually, Marv lasted as head coach of the Bills till New Year's Eve, 1997, I think. It was 12 seasons. Actually, I was going through some stuff the other night. I've got a very, very nice handwritten note from Marv Levy on Buffalo Bills stationery. Very, very nice man. Tanner, let's get back to you because you've been doing some things off the air. One of the things the caller said I thought was very interesting. While other teams have built to advance as far as possible, the Bills built to beat Kansas City. I don't know that I buy that. What's your take?
Yeah, I'm with you there. So, I mean, Kansas City was the cream of the crop in the AFC for all those years. So if you could beat Kansas City, like I thought the 13 seconds here, whatever, 2021, 22, I thought if they got past Kansas City, they were rolling all the way to the Super Bowl. I didn't think there was a team in the league that was going to stop them. So like I said, Kansas City was the gold standard for all those years. So if you could beat Kansas City, you could beat anyone in the league.
I agree. I really see. I mean, two eras of greatness for people of my age. Obviously, those Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, and all the other guys we mentioned before. Those teams of the early to mid 1990s and the Josh Allen era Buffalo Bills. And I do believe that the best chance of a Super Bowl was the 13-second game. And that's why, I know that I'm sounding like I'm contradicting myself, but I really don't think I am. I'd admit it if I thought I was. But the error that was made with 13 seconds left was so egregious. That's why I told people after that game where the Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills, I would have fired Sean McDermott that day. Because if I'm so stupid with this stuff, so if I knew what they should have been doing and the head coach didn't, I definitely think he should have been fired. Now, that being said, I got to tell you, Tanner, the reason I wanted Sean McDermott gone after this year, if they did not advance, is because I just didn't think he had what it took to take the Bills to the Super Bowl and a victory. But that was always contingent upon bringing in somebody with a track record of success. And they got a rookie head coach. So I just don't feel really optimistic about the Bills going to or winning a Super Bowl during my lifetime. And, of course, the playing horizon with excellence of Josh Allen. Tanner is stunned by my... Oh, he's answering phones. Sorry about that. It is 27 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, guys, I'm probably the world's worst sports talk host, and I proved it, baby. I proved it over 2 years. I must tell you, though, I feel really good about today's show. Like, okay, at what point did I start to feel comfortable talking about this? Huh. I mean, Joe Beamer loves it. Bellavia loves it. Me, I'm kind of an outlier with this stuff, but I hope it's been okay for you guys. I hope it was good for you.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well played, little My Old School and Steely Dan. And actually, we mentioned this song earlier today, not knowing a caller was going to mention William and Mary relative to Joe Brady. And I'll shut up now. It's Bowerly 539 at News Radio 930 WBEN. If you are just joining us, the Buffalo Bills have made a decision. The new head coach, just as I expected, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, they did some interviews and ended up just hiring internally. And I'm not a fan of this move if you're just joining us. And I want to get to Trevor here in just a moment because he's really into this stuff. And I'm more of a casual fan. I do like the dynamics of talking about stuff like this, though, as opposed to breaking down plays and X's and O's and things. But frankly, if you are going to terminate a guy who is really, really well-loved and a guy who built up a pretty respectable record as your proven National Football League head coach, you're going to fire that guy in Sean McDermott because he's taken the team as far as you think he's going to take the team in the playoffs. Okay, I understand that, but let's just ask a logical question. Is your team going to be better off with that coach, the one who had a winning record and who put together a very, very formidable team? Or is the team going to be better with a rookie head coach, especially in the playoffs, because only two rookie coaches in entire history of the National Football League have won a Super Bowl? Honestly, it pains me to say this, but I think the Buffalo Bills would have been far better leaving Sean McDermott as head coach of the team and Joe Brady as offensive coordinator and so on and so forth. I don't see the point of this exercise. Honestly, if I had to use a word, I would say stupid. I think this was a stupid thing the Buffalo Bills did. I mean, it would be different had they gone out and do what I thought they were going to do and bring in a proven veteran winner who can get the job done in January and February. That's what I wanted them to do, but they didn't do that. Just firing Sean McDermott and replacing Sean McDermott with a rookie National Football League head coach makes absolutely no sense. And I will tell you that I do believe the word I can come up with is stupid. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Next thing you know, they're not going to put a roof on a stadium in Buffalo. Stop. One of the guys with whom I've wanted to speak about this is our traffic reporter, because he's also very much into sports, Trevor, Mr. Rush Hour Howard. What's your rundown on this? First of all, you've heard my analysis, correct?
Yes, I have, and I know that you use the word stupid. I'm going to use the word embarrassing, Tom. I mean, I don't understand. Maybe the writing was on the wall for Sean McDermott. I know that you mentioned the 13 seconds game quite a bit here. That may have been the trend of, man, if we can't win this game with Sean McDermott, which game can we win in the clutch? But a lot of what we heard from the owner and the general manager was that decision to fire him was made on the day of the Denver Bronco game. Just by seeing how dejected Josh was in the locker room and how emotional he was, apparently it was also the head coach's fault for a lot of the draft misses too, and a lot of the wide receivers that just wouldn't stick in Buffalo. Like, you know, I know the big mention in that press conference, it kind of turned into the Keon Coleman roast show, where it's like, well, you know, Sean McDermott had a lot of, you know, sight on who we wanted to draft, even though that is the general manager's job of who they want to pick and add to their team. You're going to fire an experienced head coach in Sean McDermott and bring in a guy that's never coached before with, you know, with your offensive coordinator. This reminds me of what the Tennessee Titans did when they fired Mike Vrabel and they brought in a former offensive coordinator that never coached before in Brian Callahan, and that was a mess. They ended up firing him in the middle of the season, but from what we heard, a lot of it was Josh Allen's going to sit in on a lot of these head coaching interviews, and we're going to get to see his thoughts. Josh might, I guess he has to love Joe Brady here for this hire to work. Josh had to have some insight on that, but I just don't see the jump from, hey, last year the Bills were a game away from reaching the Super Bowl to now bringing in a head coach who's never coached before.
Well, let's just talk about this just a little bit more. Now, I think that everybody in Buffalo and Western New York absolutely loves Josh Allen, the recognition Josh Allen brings to Western New York, because the Buffalo Bills, like it or not, they're the single biggest advertising modality Western New York has. Without the Buffalo Bills, sorry to say it, Western New York is just another snowy place with a lot of white stuff on the ground this time of the year. That being said, shouldn't my quarterback be more concerned with not turning the ball over like he did against Denver as opposed to coaching issues?
100%. And if I'm the quarterback and the decision to fire the head coach was immediately after that Bronco game, I'm feeling guilty that Sean McDermott lost his job because I turned the ball over four times if I'm the quarterback in that scenario. It's funny. We actually made the joke out here in the newsroom that Joe Brady being hired as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, we said get ready to call them the Buffalo Bubble Screens, because that was the only offensive play that they would use in their playbook, was a 3-yard screen pass just beyond the line of scrimmage. So maybe instead of the Buffalo Bills, we can call them the Buffalo Bubble Screens, and we'll see if that sticks. But who knows? I mean, Brandon Bean got a lot of bad attitude when he originally took Josh Allen in the draft instead of Josh Rosen, passing on him. He was supposed to be the next big thing. Josh Rosen, I don't even know what he's doing now. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. And Josh Allen was that pick. If he's not here, I don't even know where the Bills are to begin with. And that worked. This hire of Joe Brady, we're seeing a lot of the negative backlash here with the fan base and a lot of the question marks, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a guy who's never really coached before, at least as a head coach in the NFL. But who knows? Maybe this will be that move where it's like, hey, this was the right decision all along, and who knows? It's way too early to say anything, but just looking from the outside, looking in, I don't understand how you can get to a Super Bowl now with an inexperienced head coach.
No.
Again, you're putting way too much weight on your franchise quarterback's shoulders. And what does that end up happening? It ends up, you know, Josh Allen turning the ball over four times in a very, very important playoff game.
You know, Trevor, it's not just the fact that you've got a rookie head coach of the Buffalo Bills heading into this season, but it takes a little while to really get your chops down, especially in a profession like that. At the same time as you've got a head coach who's going to be learning how to be a head coach, you've got a quarterback in Josh Allen who, frankly, kind of sucked against Denver with turning over the ball and didn't win that game and had that look, that thousand-yard stare look in his eyes. I'm not trying to pick on Josh Allen. I'm just saying, you know, Drake May versus Josh Allen, and sometimes I kind of wonder. I see more composure in a two-year guy than I've seen sometimes with Josh, and that's a definite concern for me, at least in January, don't mind saying. But was that a little too severe there? Am I going to get in trouble?
I don't think so. I think what you said there was 100% accurate, and it's funny that a lot of the NFL fans, while I do agree with the statement, one play doesn't usually make or break a game. Well, one play essentially made or break a head coaching career in Sean McDermott with the Buffalo Bills. If Brandon Cooks, and I know this is controversial, if he held onto the ball until the whistle blew when the rep on that interception in overtime and he completes the process of that catch, the Bills are in the AFC title game, and Sean McDermott is not losing his job, and Josh Allen is not dejected on the sideline. So that play in overtime was huge, and the offense just didn't click. And that, guess what, Tom? That was a play call that Joe Brady made. So it's all crazy, but we're just going to have to see how this goes as soon as the season starts.
Well, bro, I mean, I got to tell you, as far as that's concerned, people online who are football experts are still debating, was it a catch? Was it an interception? You've got people who are properly credentialed still slugging it out. The catch or interception is still being debated now. And my major issue is, since it is still being debated now, the NFL wanting to speed the game along, that seems like such a lame explanation. Clearly, if people who know this stuff are still talking about it and arguing about it, there was no reason to move the game along.
And not only that, but the subjective rules on what a catch is and what isn't. I don't know what a football move is. Though I guess during the process of a catch, the NFL says that you have to make a football move and then go down to the turf. It looked like Brandon Cooks had possession of the ball, pulled it into his chest, and his knee was down. He was touched down by contact. I think that is a catch. And then you go over to the other side, the NFC divisional game. I think it was the Bears and the Rams. Somebody made a catch exactly like that, and it was ruled a catch on the field. So it's very, very subjective. To be fair, I don't even know what a catch is because it's so subjective with the referees. It really depends on which referee crew that you have. I think the NFL going into this offseason needs to figure out what a catch is and make it more of a distinct rule.
It's Bowerly. Hey, Tanner Saunders, I want to get back to you quickly because we're going to have to say goodbye here in a moment. But, you know, all the people with whom we've spoken, all the thoughts that we've had on the air, and you know what, Tanner, I just cannot get my head unwrapped from the idea that the Bills have taken a step forward and that by firing a veteran coach in Sean McDermott and bringing aboard a rookie head coach in Joe Brady, I believe that the Bills are less likely to win a Super Bowl and not more likely in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I agree with that. On its face, I'm not a huge fan of the move, but if you wanted to be a glass half full kind of person, you could have some hope for this hire and just pray that that Brady was being hamstrung either by the lack of presence for a boundary wide receiver this past season, or that McDermott just wanted, you know, a slow ball control type of offense, which is what we saw a lot of the time, running the ball and then a lot of short passes around the line of scrimmage, screen passes. So that's the only hope for this hire, is just hoping that Brady was being hamstrung either by McDermott's directive or just the lack of talent in the receiver room.
Hey, you know the only hope for this radio show, other than getting rid of me, bringing in Keon Coleman to help you out. I think you need Keon to give you a hint.
Well, we'd have cookies in here every day, which would be cool, and he's a big fan of those.
All right, Tanner Saunders, thanks for everything today. Appreciate it. Hey, guys and ladies, thank you so much for the calls today. Honestly, I am not going to lie to you. I was very nervous before this show today because I really don't think I can do sports talk very well, and apparently I was right. Now, I really don't think I can do it very well, but I put my heart and soul into it, and I think it actually was pretty good today. Thank you for allowing me to do it as a topic, and thank you also for understanding I'm aware of my limitations but I think the analyses I offered today were actually grounded in reality, and we didn't make it an X's and O's show. Thanks to Trevor also for contributing, and thanks to the people who called in. And it was a lot of fun. I don't really want to go work with Chris again or Mike Shope, but not that they're not great guys, but I like what we usually do. But I hope that was okay for you guys, because it was really good for me. After so many years doing this, you'd think that I don't get nervous before a show. Nothing could be further from the truth, believe me, especially when, hey, we're going to talk about a football thing today. It is coming up on 557 at News Radio 930. WBEN Tom Puckett coming up with Buffalo's Evening News next. And again, thank you for a really enjoyable show to do, and I do hope that you got something out of it, too.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.